head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And you are listening to the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the city's most interesting podcast by far. I think we are in our 243rd consecutive week. This is your host, Rick Redding. Once again, happy to be back with you because I have some very exciting things to share, including two of the most interesting people in the Ville. That's I want you to stay tuned for the second part of the show. Nikki Jackson, who has a monster resume, one of the most interesting people I've met. She is the regional executive and senior vice president for the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, right here in Louisville. She has a very high-powered resume, a lot of things that she's accomplished, and is very nice and interesting to talk to. So I think you'll enjoy our conversation. It's coming up in the second half of the show. First up, I want to thank my main sponsor is Passport Health Plan. Today, attended the Commitment to Compassion Luncheon down at the Fraser Museum, which is a very interesting thing. And what happened there, we honored several of our most compassionate individuals in the city. And these range from a great guy who makes kids happy at the hospital by entertaining them to some high-powered executives of healthcare type companies. You can check that all out at Passport. If you go to passportwellbeing.com, you can see some of the stories that I've written about some of these folks, and would encourage you to do so. Looking forward to a lot of good things in the near future involving Passport. So here we are, show 243, and I have a very special guest coming up. Her name is Peggy Heiser, and if you know the Heiser name from this show, both of her sons and her husbands have been on, and her husband has been on the show. But I saved the best for last. Peggy is wonderful. We connected recently, 4 years ago, I think. I was working out at Heiser Health on River Road, and then I had my surgery on my ankle, and I had to sort of quit that. But I was up at the Melwood Art Center. I was actually visiting Danny Max up there, Danny Max Pizza up at the Melwood Art Center. And I saw that Heiser Health had moved into the Melwood Art Center. And so anyway, it prompted me to get in touch with Peggy and ask her about things. And we got together. And lo and behold, we've got a very exciting plan in place for you. First of all, I want you to listen to our interview because Peggy has some real insight. If you're interested in your health and the components of health, what you're eating, exercise, and the changes that your body, that happen to your body as you age. And it's all a very interesting and fascinating interview. And as a result of this this meeting of the minds there at Heiser, here on the Rusty Satellite Show for the next several months, we're going to be talking about a program that I'm going to undergo to try to get healthier. I want to lose some weight. I want to eat better. I want to get better exercise. And Peggy's going to talk me through that and help me through that. And I'm going to go through their program. And you're going to hear about it right here on the Rusty Satellite Show and on LouisvilleKY.com. And so Heiser is going to be a sponsor of this show. So I'm very excited about that. You're going to be hearing a lot about that. And it's a turn to the healthier, I guess, for us. And I encourage you, I hope you will follow along with me as I try to go through these improvements. Tomorrow I'm going to go get my blood work done and get started, and it's going to be a very exciting program. But I want you to hear from Peggy, and they've got some really great new ideas. If you've been, you're bombarded with, if you listen to radio, you hear all these ads from these companies that say they want to, they'll make you feel like you're 25, again, and all that. And some of those you got to be very wary of. But I think the approach that they have to this at Heiser is going to be successful for me. And I think it's a smarter way to go about improving your life as you age. So that's a very important thing. So anyway, I'm going to let you hear my interview with Peggy, and I'll be back with some really interesting stuff that's going on in the city right after our interview.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Today, I am back at Heiser Health and glad to be here with Peggy Heiser. Peggy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rick. Good to see you. Thank you so much.
I'm feeling really bad about 2017 because I had Chip Heiser on the show in 14. I had Dr. Heiser in 15. And I had Will in 16. But I got the best for last. Here you are.
And you waited more than a year, darn it.
I know. I just throw out 2017 as a failure. But I was very interested. I was up here at the Melwood Arts Center, and I looked at and I saw, I didn't even know you had moved, the operation, the main operation of Heiser Health up here. And then I got to talk to you, and you told me there's a big thing that you're going to help me with called optimizing your health. It's important for everyone.
It's true. You know, we're all going to turn 50. And it's kind of that age, somewhere around 50, that life gets much more serious. Mm-hmm. Some of us start to have some health problems. The others don't really have health problems, but we're worried because we can't snap our pants. We don't have the energy we did. The zest for life that we had. Our relationships may be lagging a bit. We're trying to work out in the gym and we're making no progress. We haven't worked out in years and we think, oh my God, maybe we better. I'm 50 now. And then somebody bumps into us and tells us, did you know after 50, 1 in 2 men and women die of heart attacks? Ooh. Then all of a sudden we start saying, sugar. We got to do something about this, right? So at Heiser Health, we've always been very focused and very passionate on improving your overall health by using what's primary prevention. And primary prevention is using real food that grows from the ground and utilizing effective exercise that's been demonstrated over and over by the Department of Exercise Physiology in many, many universities now. And that's what we do at Heiser Health. We start with the basics, and we've added a few new programs because out of necessity, our aging population at Heiser Health, which is probably more than 500 participants that use primary prevention every day,
okay,
it wasn't working for them like it used to. And we needed to come up with some solutions again for our patients / participants, clients, whatever we want to call them. But these are people who don't want to use medicine. They don't want to feel bad. They want to feel good. They want to look good. And they want to use primary prevention to make that all happen. But suddenly, in the last 3 or 4 years, they are noticing it's not working. And I think they're more aware because they're fit and they're healthy.
Right.
The rest of the population that isn't fit and healthy, they start becoming aware when their pleasantries of life change. They don't sleep all night. They don't have that oomph and energy to get up and go all day long. And they suddenly start to realize, I am tired and worn out. And
all the time.
My waistline right. will not fit my pants anymore. And so theirs is a more subtle onset versus someone who's really fit. They'll notice right away when change is happening through aging.
Okay.
So aging is a fact of life, right? We know that all these things that, you know, we can't take youth for granted. We know that better than millennials do. Millennials think they're going to live forever, but we've sort of, in our age category of 50 and over, we live a much more truthful, like, realize, okay, I'm going to get older, but when I get older, I want to feel as good as I do now.
I still want to do stuff.
You do.
Yeah.
And so that's where we came to develop a program called Heiser Optimized Health and Heiser Complete Care.
Okay. I'm very excited about that because, you're talking about the aging thing, and if you listen to the radio enough, you hear, oh, you got, there's a million solutions. You just got to go to these places and pay them a bunch of money, and you'll feel a certain age again, right?
That's right.
But you're going to do that for me.
Yeah. You can pay a lot of money and try to get a quick fix. Try to just get yourself looking better by changing cosmetically, maybe the way your face looks, or get the fat sucked out of your belly. But the bottom line is, your face will probably still look like what you bargained for, but your belly isn't going to. You get the fat sucked out, it comes right back. The real fact is that still and always will be the fact that if you want to burn fat, you got to have sweat equity involved.
Okay.
But unfortunately, as we age, we naturally lose our hormones. And these hormones are very imperative to preserve us through most of our life. It's not abnormal that you lose your hormones. It is abnormal that you develop chronic disease as a result of it. And that chronic disease becomes evident when the waistline gets bigger, the energy level falls off, the blood glucose goes up, the cholesterol increases, and we start suddenly approaching a conversation with our primary care that we need to start on a statin, we need to worry about prediabetes, our blood pressure's elevating. And frankly, folks, it's all about your waistline. And you can't control a waistline if you can't maintain your metabolic rate.
Okay.
So your metabolic rate, your metabolism, is determined by the engine of your body called muscle.
Okay.
If you have had muscle and worked muscle, you'll know when you're not able to have it around like you always used to.
Right. So I'm feeling that right now.
The people that have been very active in the Heiser Health Program or very active in lifting weights and being very conscientious, they notice it first. They notice that suddenly they're still lifting weights. They're still in the gym. They're working hard, but it's not happening. And their pants are getting tighter, both male and female, but they're still sweating and panting, and they're eating less, and their body continues to change.
And still doesn't work.
Right. And what's happened is you naturally lost hormones you made your whole life. Women lose it a bit more abruptly. Mm-hmm. They go through a thing called perimenopause and then menopause. And my son, Will, the entertainer, says it's menopause is putting men on pause for women. But actually, menopause is where you cease to make the sex hormones that really kept your body in a state of equilibrium.
Okay. So all these ads I hear, they're all about putting the hormones back, I guess.
They are.
It's not that simple, though.
But you know, this is a very personal thing. This is a very private thing. And no two of us are the same hormonally. And you cannot just across the board put someone on this dose or that dose of replacement hormone. It has to be a personal, private, medical, conscientious, very medically thought out according to their history and the way they feel, their symptoms, their side effects. There's a lot that plays into the hormone levels and the dosage that's prescribed.
Okay.
So you're never going to be 25 again. Most of us don't want to be. And you don't want something that's very private and personal to be on the back of the Yum Center door. You want your provider, whoever that is, to be able to manage your quest for good health by using all sorts of techniques, nutrition, exercise, and some hormone replacement therapy. We believe in the natural hormone replacement, those hormones that replicate what you made yourself.
Okay.
And we want to give you back those hormones to where your side effects, the negative things you're feeling, go away. You don't have to be all beefed up. You just need for your side effects of no sleep, of no energy, of maybe some reports on your bone scan that say you have osteopenia. We want to see a normal bone density score for females. And these are all the reasons. We don't want you to be pre-diabetic. When the waistline goes up, so too does high blood pressure, pre-diabetes, and cholesterol. We don't want you on those drugs. And if we can control chronic disease by bringing you back to a level that you can grow your muscle again and elevate your metabolic rate, which is the number of calories you burn every day for free, then you're less likely to eat more than your engine burns.
Okay.
And especially at Heiser Health, we make you very aware of what that engine burn number is. So you and I, because of our age, Rick, no matter whether my body fat is normal and yours is less normal, our calorie intake is going to be somewhere between 1450 to 1850 calories a day.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but if you don't eat garbage and you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, a few starches from the whole grain, a few fats from olive oils, avocados, olives, fish oil, nuts. Those have more calories, but we refrain from too many servings. But if we really put food in our body that has a calorie, it has a cost, but it has a value to health and to building and repairing our body and fueling our body, we count that up.
Yeah.
We make sure we know what that number is.
Well, that's going to be interesting. And you know, before we run out of time here, I want to mention that I guess I feel like I'm the perfect candidate for your service. And maybe when you talk about it being a private thing, but I'm going to make an exception and I'm going to go through this program and talk about it publicly, and hopefully, you know, it'll work, because I've been trying a lot of stuff to, you know, everybody talks about wanting to eat right. Everybody talks about wanting to exercise.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just need to be told what to do.
Well, and you need to understand how your body works scientifically. And then you feed the body what it needs and not a lot of everything else. And you'll have days where you have a few slip-ups, but that's why you do cardiovascular endurance. You overburn those calories that you didn't mean to eat, or you intentionally ate but you want to get rid of, right?
Exactly.
But it's all about responsibility, taking your health and saying, I'm going to do what I know is right and feels right and feels safe and feels very medical at the same time.
Okay.
And very private. But in your case, I know we've discussed making it social, and that's okay with me as long as it's okay with you.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. I don't think there's going to be anything embarrassing come out. You know, I was an athlete for a long, long time and had an injury, and I can't play anymore. And I need something to help me. So I'm very excited about getting started on this program with you at Heiser Health. And I guess it certainly anybody else can do it. You're right up here in the Melwood Arts Center. Very convenient to my new place that I live, but convenient to a lot of people, I guess. And you guys are here every day, right?
We also have another location out off of Commonwealth Drive, off of Blank and Baker. So we have two locations. We have gyms adjacent to both of our offices because we're serious about exercise.
All right.
And we want to be there for the folks that want to be there.
Okay, Peggy. Well, I remember when I tried this in the past before my injury, and you were in some of my classes, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But so we're gonna try this again. I'll be sharing with my listeners and readers on Louisville KY what's going on with me and Heiser Health, and I'm just excited to get started.
I look forward to your journey.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. Comes out on Louisville.am.
So there you go. That's a look at what's ahead for us here at the Rusty Satellite Show with Heiser Health. And I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm already more excited about how I feel. And you know, I moved recently, and that's been great. I moved down to Clifton. I'm less than about a mile from the Melwood Arts Center. So That's going to be convenient. There's exercise classes up there I'm going to be taking and all that. So anyway, back to the world at large. You know, one of the most interesting things I saw in the city of Louisville, when I went into the Fraser Museum, they had to relocate this luncheon today to the Fraser Museum from the Ali Center, because the Ali Center is shut down because of the flood, if you know about that. So over at the Fraser, there were tents set up outside and people in line, like, you know, you're used to seeing for like maybe tickets to concerts or ball games when they're going on sale. But it turns out that people are lining up to spend $1,800 on a bottle of bourbon when it goes on sale on Thursday. This is 45-year-old bourbon, something called Final Reserve, James Thompson and Brother Bourbon. Not something I'm familiar with, but I, you know, not something I would ever do is spend $1,800 on a bottle of bourbon. But according to the story in Insider Louisville, the bottles could fetch as much as $10,000 on the open market. So if people are looking to make a profit on bourbon, I guess it's worth sitting out in the rain in a tent in downtown Louisville. You know, questionable tactic to me, but. Anyway, that's what's going. That is going on. And speaking of the flood, I hope you weren't. I've just heard some really tough stories about things that happened to people with the flooding, the recent flooding. I was just over at Melwood Arts Center on Wednesday afternoon, and the water is starting to go down over there on Melwood. You can almost see the sidewalks. I was there 24 hours earlier, and it was totally underwater, and a lot of people have lost a lot of things. I heard those apartments down there on the river, the nice new apartments, I heard they paid $100 to residents to not stay there, so that would get pretty expensive as well. And it's just, there's just not much you can do about it when it happens. The big story people have been talking about, you know, regarding the flood, did you see the video? I think everybody I've talked to has seen this video of this poor deer on right, was hanging out up there by the Galt House, I guess forced up into the place where all the people were by the rising floodwaters, and panicked, ran around the horseshoe of the Galt House and jumped off the ledge, which normally would have meant a about a three-story drop to concrete. But in this case, this deer and these smart people that were doing the video landed in water and started swimming. Now, I don't know where the deer came out, how it ended, but it was just fascinating video to see this deer jump off a ledge that would have killed it, I'm sure, if not for the water down there, and started swimming and all that. So anyway, that's what's going on there. And the flood is, hopefully we'll be back to normal soon. I hope you know, February is over with now. So I'm very happy about that. That's always something to celebrate. January and February being the two worst months to live here in Louisville. And now it's March 1st. Things are going to start getting springy, I hope. One of the things I did this week, I wanted to talk about was that, I went to, for the first time, to a new restaurant, Whiskey Dry, which is Chef Edward Lee. You heard him on the show a few weeks ago. I hadn't been able to get in there to eat, but I went with Carolyn McLean, who is my new co-host on the upcoming revised Eat, Drink, Talk podcast right here on the Louisville.am network. I think we're going to launch first weekend in April. We were down there pitching 4th Street Live, which I think is going to become a sponsor of the show. And we had these burgers at Whiskey Dry that were just tremendous, outstanding. Carolyn had the one that calls the Big Ed. It's like a Big Mac, but better, obviously, and very filling. And I had this one, I think it's called the Western Burger. It's got avocado on it, which is one of my favorite things now. And so anyway, I can highly recommend Whiskey Dry. They had a really good lunch crowd, and it was like on a Tuesday, and there were a lot of folks in there, including a former Rusty Satellite guest of recent vintage, Laura Wallace. I saw her in there. She posted about it on Facebook. So that was going on as well. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting back into the restaurant scene, talking about restaurants and news about restaurants, and that's all going to be on Eat, Drink, Talk. You can go to eatdrinktalk.net right now, and you can see some updated stories. We've got an RSS feed that features stories about Louisville restaurants, Louisville drinking, Louisville bars, and the like. And speaking of news in that area, I was so happy to see our good friends in Hoosierland that they have passed a law that they can now sell alcohol on Sundays up there in Indiana. How about that? I could go off all day about the antiquated laws about alcohol in Indiana and Kentucky. Kentucky is no better by any means than Indiana about their obscure, crazy laws. We have all these dry counties in Kentucky, the bourbon capital of the world with a bunch of dry counties. And go figure. But anyway, that was big news in Indiana. That had been a sort of a discussion in the legislature for a long, long time. So that's going on up there. And I'm not sure exactly when that's going to start, but widely reported story. Glad to hear. It just seems silly to not sell something on Sunday, but that's a whole nother issue. And the big news in the week coming up, I guess I'm not sure exactly what day it is, but the Academy Awards are coming up. I've tried to do a little better at seeing the Oscar-nominated movies this year. This last weekend, I went to see Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, and I can't recommend that you go see that highly enough. It's a great drama about with great actors. Woody Harrelson, I think, I'm not sure if he's nominated, but he is certainly deserving an Academy Award for this. Frances McDormand is the lead female character. It's basically, to summarize the plot, there is a woman who is upset that law enforcement isn't doing enough to find her daughter's killer. And the law enforcement, represented by Woody Harrelson's character, gets a lot of attention because she goes and puts up billboards questioning the police tactics outside this small town in Missouri. So it's a really cool movie. I still think I've seen The Post, which I still think is, because of my interest in journalism, et cetera, I think that is my favorite of the movies. I saw Shape of Water and was surprisingly, I hate the idea of the story. I mean, it seems silly, but the movie was well executed. I really liked it. I saw Lady Bird, a very entertaining film, and another one I could recommend. So those are the ones I've seen. 4 out of 9, pretty good. It's enough to keep me interested in watching the awards when they air. I know the Louisville Film Society is having its big annual party at Copper and Kings, and you ought to look into that if you're interested in such things. So anyway, that's sort of a roundup of some of the things I'm paying attention to these days. And I want to get to our next guest, who is Nikki Jackson, who is, let me just read some. She's a senior vice president for the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis and the regional executive. She's involved in a lot of things outside her work. Just to give you an idea of some of the things she's, let me read this one paragraph from her bio on the Federal Reserve website. She is a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority and the International Women's Forum. She serves on the boards of One West, Louisville Public Media, the Louisville Regional Airport Authority, and Family Scholar House. Previously, she's been on the board of the Bernheim Arboretum and Research Forest, Women for Women, Kentucky Retirement Systems, Kentucky Deferred Compensation Authority, and Kentucky Employers Mutual Insurance. She is a former cabinet secretary for state government, was the personnel cabinet secretary under Bashir. And with all that said, she's just a really delightful, delightful person. We connected, talked about being parents and what she's doing in terms of her personal life and what's going on. I just really liked her, and I was introduced. I'd done a story about her for Passport, and wanted to learn a lot about One West. But she had a lot of other interesting things to say, and I really encourage you to listen to this interview. I really enjoyed doing it down at her office downtown. So here it is. I'll be back to wrap up the show.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show is happy to welcome Nikki Jackson to the show. Nikki, welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We're here at the Federal Reserve Bank. I was looking all over. I couldn't find a teller.
You're not going to find one.
Or any money.
No.
You don't have any money
cash
up here.
Right.
But you are the Regional Vice, Senior Vice President.
Regional Executive.
And Regional Executive for this organization, which is a really big job. A lot of people don't realize all that the Fed does here in town. So you're going to enlighten my listeners on some of the things the Fed does.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you for the opportunity. So, oh gosh, Rick, my job is to really help people understand at a very high level what the Fed does and help the Fed understand the nuances and the idiosyncrasies of our community in as much as it relates to monetary policy, basically how the economy performs.
Okay.
So we have a small staff here. We're small but mighty, and we work in the areas of community development. That's anything that really involves low and moderate income communities and all of the conundrum that beset those communities.
Sure.
And then economic education. So we teach people how to teach economics, and that's from pre-K all the way to post-secondary education. We develop both the curriculum and we help with pedagogy support, so not just what you teach, but how you teach it.
Wow.
And then from my seat, most specifically, my job is to help educate this area, and the zone that I'm responsible for is Central and Western Kentucky and Southern Indiana. So help educate this area about not just what the Fed does and the intricacies of our work, but really how the economy works, to kind of pull back the cloak, if you will, pull back that veil that we've kind of been operating in historically for a couple of years. We really want to make sure that the folks understand in this community understand how the economy works and their contribution to it, mm-hmm. right? And their impact, the impact of their behaviors in it. So it's just really important that we all understand that, so that we can avoid, you know, things like what happened in 2008 and some of the other right. recessions, depressions, so that we're better informed. But I also have the privilege of gathering data from the community about how the economy is performing per our own unique lens.
Okay.
And that's really important. That anecdotal information is important
to
us.
Well, how is the economy performing? Because it seems like I hear a lot of positive. I don't read the numbers or anything like that, but it seems to be going pretty well.
Yeah. So overall, it's doing well. It's doing well. We look at a couple of indicators, unemployment, of course, being one of them, and we are at, I won't say a record low, but our unemployment rates are hovering around 4%, 3-4%, which is really good. What we like to see typically, and by way of inflation, i.e., like productivity, is something around 2%. We've not yet met that just yet, but we're still performing pretty well. I get the opportunity to do what's called FIT calls, financial okay. institution touch calls. So I call on bankers across this area and ask them questions about, like, credit worthiness, loan default rates. What are they seeing by way of capital investments? What are they seeing by way of real estate, both commercial and residential investments? And as I have those conversations, it helps me understand, you know, per these smaller community lenses, what's going on, and we use that to give us an indication of how a business and banking sectors feel about the economy. What okay. are they seeing on the ground? And so, based on what I've seen thus far, what I've heard from my contacts, it's pretty positive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's look at downtown Louisville. Right now, we're getting ready to open the Omni. The convention center is nearly ready to open. There's right. about three or four other hotels. It seems like there's construction on every street. So that's good for the Fed, right?
Yeah, count the cranes. I tell you, that's honestly, I mean, that's one indicator. I mean, it's kind of silly, but honestly, it's a great indicator of how well a urban area is performing. What does the growth look like there? How stagnant might it be or not? So when you look downtown, just a cursory view of downtown, you'll see a ton of cranes and
yeah.
lots of construction workers, and that's always
activity.
A good sign.
That is. Of course, right now we're seeing a bunch of water. Right?
That's because my view is amazing. That's because my view is
amazing.
Great.
View of the yeah. flood that we're having right,
right.
now. So, that's all great. I want to ask you a little bit about your sort of other work that you do, and you're a big advocate of West Louisville, and as part of One West, and tell me about your role there.
Yeah. So I'd say it a little bit more broadly. I'm a of course I advocate for West Louisville, but I advocate really for Black and Brown people. And in this community, we tend to be co-located in West Louisville. And what I'm trying to do in my work, both personally and professionally, is bring attention to what has happened in areas and communities that have been intentionally disinvested in. Is that the right verb? I don't know if I could put that verb at the end there, but intentionally disinvested in, and where we've been, where we've had marginal success. We collectively, the government, society, community, has had marginal successes in trying to eradicate those wrongs. So I'm particularly burdened by the plight of folks mm-hmm. that are in those communities, and the reality that in many respects, in most respects, where most people of color, particularly African American, where we find ourselves in the state of affairs today, has very little to do with our own choices and a lot to do with what zip code you're born into and, sure. you know, what education your mom and dad might have had and who's got what kind of illnesses and what kind of food, access to good foods that you might have. So it's less about like the choices, and it's just more about the conditions that were set that you have nothing to do with. That's yeah. damn near impossible to try to get out of. So I am forever anchored to that work, both personally and professionally. The Fed has a strong interest, particularly under its community development arm, but not exclusively so. But the Fed has a strong interest from a workforce development standpoint and an economic viability standpoint and community development standpoint to make sure that we are being very thoughtful about including as many as we can in the growth of our economy.
Sure. Well, I know specifically, I love this story you told me. I hope you don't mind me bringing it up. But you told me about you were living in the East End and you had to educate your neighbors,
right?
I guess, about the plight of Black and Brown people and what's going on in West Louisville.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could share that.
Sure, sure. So I've lived in Louisville for about 14 years off and on, and I came back to Louisville, moved out east, and I was doing consulting part-time, so I was home a lot. And because of that, I had an opportunity to connect with a lot of my neighbors, which is cool. You know, we would have coffee before the day started, and maybe drinks after work, after they were working. At various neighbors' homes, and I just noticed that a lot of times I was having conversations with folks, and I would be one of few, if not the only African-American there, and there'd be discussions about those people and West Louisville and those kids and, you know, how I would never send my kids to school with them, and I was becoming angry. I was incensed, quite frankly, and I was reacting bluntly in anger and not based on kind of fact and trying to reset the narrative. So I just decided to start doing, I called them then community conversations where East meets West. And I just had them in my house, and I would invite a bunch of folks from the East End to come and celebrate with me the best of the West End. And the very first event I did was focusing on St. George's Community Center. So right. Arthur Cox was kind enough to let me showcase his amazing wares and what he and his board have been able to do in the lives of children there.
And I went and saw him and did a thing with him.
Good, yeah. Arthur's great.
I love him.
He's great. But that's really what kind of helped me think about constructive ways to be of use in challenging the narrative that sometimes we attach to people of color.
Well, certainly it's great that you're able to. I mean, I'm sure it's enough with your kids. I understand there's this daughter that's driving you crazy, right?
My 13-year-old. Well, she's a 13-year-old girl, and you know, she's in the throes of those teenage years.
So you're doing that at this very important job, and you make a lot of public appearances, right?
I do.
I know you had one today, right?
I did. Yeah. I had the opportunity to speak at U of L today about women and entrepreneurship and business and the plight of women at work, and that's cool. So I'm really thankful to have opportunities like that. So I get to talk about not just Fed stuff, but just what's it like to be a woman at work and a working woman and a Black woman and kind of my own experiences to the extent that they may be helpful in shaping someone else's career path. I really do enjoy that.
Sure. Well, I'm sure it's a great story. I'd love to go to one of those appearances. But getting back to here at the Fed, what do you want? You know, so the economy is going pretty well for most people. But what are you sort of reaching out to do to to help the people that you're talking to.
Yeah, so I tell you what I'm worried about, what worries me overall in terms of economic viability, economic mobility, really, are kind of the wealth gaps mm-hmm. that we continue to see persisting in our country, and wage gaps, and those gaps, quite frankly, that are due entirely to the isms, racism, mm-hmm. sexism, and not attributable to maybe like education levels or effort, right? Okay. So the wealth gaps that are just concerning. So the Fed has done an amazing job in studying quite a bit of that, and that work continues. We have helped to promulgate some studies to help advance conversations about that here in Louisville. We just participated in the State of Black Louisville with the Urban League. And I wrote a paper on focusing on wealth gaps and did a little bit of a TED Talk, if you will, with those folks about the ills that have befallen our community as it relates to wealth gaps. But overall, I have a heart to make sure that we are serving the masses and that we are defining community with a capital C, not a lowercase c. So I work at trying to broaden our visibility in four main areas. One is, of course, communities of color, black and brown people, wherever they may find themselves, not just West End, but everywhere, really.
Sure.
And then women, so another group en masse that we have not really been intentional in connecting with, yet our role as matriarchs and our role as leaders in the business and bank sector compels the Fed to be more accessible to those groups. And then higher ed, I'm really trying to do quite a bit more. We have such a panoply of offerings in the higher ed space just in this MSA alone. I mean, it's okay. incredible how many institutions of higher education we have, both at 2 and 4 year institutions. And we have a lot to offer, particularly in our education, economic education realm. So I really want to be more diligent in focusing in on those communities. And then lastly, I call them the heir apparents, but those are the people that are like moving into the C-suite roles in the next 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
And we've typically not, I'll say, targeted them, or maybe they've just not been all that interested in the work of the Fed or how we present the work of the Fed. But it's important to me that the next generation understands how we can be of use to them and how our information can be relevant as they make business and career decisions and even decisions as it relates to their family. So those are the audiences that I'm looking at saturating okay. in the years to come.
Well, you're quite the dynamo. I'm sure you'll get to all of them. That's about all the time we have, but I appreciate you talking to me for the second time.
My pleasure.
And that's going to wrap another Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is Rick Redding thanking you for sticking with me and for 243 episodes or for just this one 40-minute podcast. I really appreciate my audience out there. Open to hearing from you. If you got a good idea for a guest for the show, please get in touch with me. I'd be happy to talk about it. I want to thank my guest this week, certainly Nikki Jackson, down at the Federal Reserve Bank in downtown Louisville, and enjoyed going up and visiting her, as well as Peggy Heiser, who's got the ticket for me for good health. Looking forward to the optimized health program she's going to put me through, and you're going to hear a lot more about Heiser Health in the near future. Next week, I've already got one guest signed up. I'm going to talk. We have a Breakfast of Champions coming up on March 13th, and our speaker is going to be Scott Collins. He is a I guess he is the chief executive of Facilities Management Services, and the title of his talk is Doing Well by Doing Good. So it should be some good stuff, I would think. And I'll introduce you to him on Rusty Satellite Show number 244 next week. Thanks again to Passport Health Plan for being a sponsor of this show. I really appreciate that, and appreciate their invite to the Commitment to Compassion luncheon today, where we heard Mayor Fisher speak about his trip to India and learned a whole lot about what was going on in the world. You know, and just a little story here, I'm going to tell you, things that have been happening to me lately. Somebody asked me about living in, you know, how great it is to live in your hometown where you grew up. This is a funny story. I went in the other day, you know, I've got the new condo that I'm living in, and I had to get keys to the mailbox. So I had to go to the mailbox, go to the post office, order them. So I came back 2 days later to get them. I walked in the door, and this woman walks up to me and says, "Oh, are you here to get your keys?" And now, understand, I hadn't introduced myself. I hadn't announced my presence, anything. I said, yeah. And she said, oh, yeah, I saw your name on the list. I'm Kathy from Iroquois. So anyway, that happened. And that's the kind of thing that's been happening today. I saw somebody at the Commitment to Compassion luncheon today, Teresa, who I also went to high school with, which was a very interesting thing. And to complete the troika of things that happened like that, last time I got my hair cut, a guy that I went to high school with recognized me and started writing my name down before I'd given it to him. And I wondered how that happened. So it is a small town. It's a great town, Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm glad to live here and share some of the stories of things that go on right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. So let's wrap up the show. Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Please feel free to get in touch with me every time. Check out my work at LouisvilleKY.com and get ready for the new eDrinkTalk.net. You can go to that website right now and learn a little bit more about what's going on in the restaurant industry in this wonderful dining town. So that's going to do it. This is Rick Redding of the Rusty Satellite Show. See you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.